Turn to the book of James and chapter 1. James, please, and chapter 1. And I'm going to try to attempt in the next few moments just to bring to your attention something concerning the believer's tongue. Now, I know you can't fully talk about this in 18 minutes, but I will give you a few thoughts that I have enjoyed from the book of James. And very practical, I trust. James chapter 1 and verse 19, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." Chapter 2. And we will just read verse 12. "So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty." Chapter 3. And verse 7, "For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison." Chapter 4 and verse 11, "Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother, speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another?" Chapter 5 and verse 12. "Above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation." Now, the tongue is a very small member of the body, but it is able to bring about an enormous amount of blessing or cause untold devastation and trouble. Actually, the source is not really the tongue. As one man said, the tongue is just the messenger boy or the instrument used to communicate information. But the source is really, 18 inches below the tongue. As the Lord Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." And so when we come to the advice that the Scripture gives us, and particularly now in the book of James, what we have in chapter 1, James reminds us that we need to be careful in our speech. Be careful. Actually, he reminds us to be swift to hear and slow to speak. The wherefore at the beginning of this verse, I take it, would link. Links us with what comes previous. Swift, probably bringing to our attention that we should be swift to hear the Word of God. Reminds me of what we have in Isaiah chapter 50 concerning the servant. It says, "He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned." Jehovah's servant, his ear was always open to hear, morning by morning, always open to hear what the Master had to say. like those men who belonged to David, those mighty men, and it would almost seem that when David longed for the water that from the well of Bethlehem, it was no command that David was giving, but these men, they were so close to David and so in tune with what he wanted that even the very whisper of his breath, they were willing to go and to risk their lives. Their ears were open to their master's voice. But not only should we be quick to respond to the Word of God personally, but slow to tell others. And, you know, sometimes we kind of get this reversed around, don't we? We often are so quick, aren't we, to tell somebody else what to do and how to do it. But the Word of God reminds us that we should be slow to speak and swift to hear. Well, this of course has a very practical application as well, because if you are going to help others, you will have to learn to keep your mouth closed. To put it very simply, you will have to learn to listen to the needs of others. And so as elders, you need to be listening to your flock. As parents, we need to be willing to listen to our children. As wise soul winners, we need to listen to what is being said. Speaking to a friend, you need to listen to their needs. And so we need to take this, well, the word that we have in Proverbs chapter 10 is, he that refraineth his lips is wise, and he who guards his mouth preserves life. And so may God help us to be careful in our speech. If in chapter 1 we need to be careful how we speak, even what we speak and when we speak, in chapter 2 we find that we should be consistent in our speech. Consistent. And you say, well, what do we need to be consistent with? Our speech, very simply, should be consistent with our actions. James says, so speak ye and so do. This is so important that in verse 14 James says, oh, what profit is it though a man say he has faith and hath not works? In other words, if our speaking and our actions are not consistent with one another, if they do not agree, then there's a big question mark on the reality of our lives and the reality of our conversion even. Now our works will not save us, but they will manifest the reality of our salvation. And if you see someone, James brings this out, and I'm just going to pass over very quickly, but if you see someone in need, and you do not go and help that person, whatever else you do, don't go around telling people that you are a Christian. So speak, and so do. I am reminded of Samuel the prophet, and you will remember what it says of him, because what we say reflects what we are. And of Samuel it says, the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground. And so our speech has a very great impact upon our testimony. And I look at a man like Samuel, and there was weight, wasn't there, to his words. I take it that that's what it means, that none of his words fell to the ground. In other words, when he spoke, that people listened to what he had to say. They knew, here is a man of character. Here is a man whose life is consistent with what he is saying. Here is a true man of God. We will listen to him. And you've heard the expression oftentimes that words are cheap. You can say lots, but if your words are not consistent with what you believe and with what you profess, then people will not listen. So quickly then, I guess we need to be careful that we don't speak out of turn and we guard what we say, because a testimony is something that takes time to build. A testimony is something that actually it takes a lifetime to build. Whether it's at work, or whether it's in your neighborhood, or whether it's among the assembly. And it can be lost in a moment with the unguarded tongue. Reminds me of, if you ever visit Newfoundland, a beautiful province to visit, and you will see on the side of the road now going across the Trans-Canada Highway, I don't know how many times, maybe 5 or 6 times going across, there's this big forestry sign. And the woods are there, beautiful woods, but the fire is looking up through the trees. And down in big, bold letters at the bottom are these words: years to grow, moments to destroy. Years to grow, moments to destroy. That probably links with what we have in chapter 3, because we are not only to be careful in our speech and to be consistent in our speech, but James reminds us in chapter 3, verse 8, that we should be controlled in our speech. Now, the tongue is a vivid indicator of the character of a person. And it actually declares what is in our hearts, as I mentioned earlier. Small member, but like the bit that is in the horse's mouth, it is able, the bit controls the horse. Or like the rudder at the back of a very large ship, just a small rudder, but it controls the direction of that ship. And so the tongue, it has the ability to turn the whole person. It has ability to turn crowds. It has the ability to influence and affect everyone that is around. The tongue can be compared to a match in size, but its effects are like that of a raging forest fire. Verse 6 says, the tongue is a fire. It doesn't say the tongue is like a fire, but it actually says the tongue is a fire. And the result depends on whether it is controlled or not. I mean, I love to sit back on a nice cold evening and put my feet up against on a stool and let the warm fire in the fireplace heat my cold toes. The fire is good when it's in the fireplace, but when the fire gets out of the fireplace and it's out of control, then there's big problems. And so it is with the tongue. Someone said, the most ferocious beast alive finds its den behind our teeth. Well, maybe there's a lot of truth in that. It is possible, is it? James brings this out in chapter 3. Is it really possible from the same mouth to come cursing and blessing? Is it possible for us, brethren, on a Lord's Day morning to get up and remember the Lord and sing beautiful hymns and say such lovely things and go home and start speaking? speaking rudely and crudely and unkindly to our partners or to our children or to... Is that... That, you see, we need to have tongues that are controlled. Verse 8 actually says that, well, it says there, doesn't it, that no man can tame the tongue. It says no man. No man. But I do believe that God can tame. Like Romans chapter 12, if we are fully yielded to Him, our members, that's our hands and that's our eyes and that's our feet and that's our tongue, completely yielded to God to speak for Him. Well, we'll have to pass over that one. I was going to say a few other things, but the time in chapter 4, verse 11, here I find that we are to be compassionate in our speech. What does James say here? He says, speak not evil one of another, brethren. You know, it never ceases to amaze me how cruel, yes, how cruel sometimes we as God's people can be in the use of our tongue. When speaking about elders, when speaking about preachers, when speaking about God's people. And I understand here that this word is, I mean, I'm no scholar on words, but they tell me that this is a very strong word that means to slander or to defame someone's character. Whatever the strength of the word, there is, I believe this, there is never a time when we need to be cruel or unkind with our tongue. I know, yes, we need to give correction where correction is needed. And there are times that we need to rebuke. And there are times that we need to stand up for the truth and be very clear and dogmatic. But there is never a time when we need to be unkind or cruel with our speaking. Actually, one man said there are four questions that should interrogate our thoughts before they are released. The first is this: is it true? Someone was mentioning about this. Yeah, supposing. When you speak, when you repeat something, when you say something, first of all, make sure that it's true. Don't go spreading gossip and don't go saying things that are flattery. You know the difference between gossip and flattery. Flattery is saying something behind someone's back that you wouldn't say to their face. Flattery is saying something to someone's face that you wouldn't say behind their back. But whatever the case, make sure that it's true. Secondly, is it confidential? How many times have I had to put up my hands and say, don't go any further? You know, a brother will say, well, you know, this was said to me in confidence, but I just want to tell you about it. Or I just, you know, that's breaking someone's confidence and someone's trust in you. If it's told to you in confidence, then whatever you do, zip your mouth and don't repeat it. Is it true? Is it confidential? And I mentioned this thirdly, is it kind? I mean, if it's not kind, don't, especially if it's about someone else, you don't need to repeat it. And lastly, fourthly, is it necessary? I mean, really, a lot of things that we say about one another in private or to someone that we know, is it really necessary? Why don't we be speaking more about our Lord Jesus? And actually, all of these things, this would be a good study for any of us to take all of these things concerning our speech, and you can apply them to the life and to the person and to the speech of our Lord Jesus Christ, because He was careful, He was consistent, He was controlled, He was compassionate in His speech. The last one is in chapter 5. There's a couple here, but I'm just looking at this one in verse 12. Be correct in your speech.
be correct.
In other words, James is saying, let your yes be yes and your no, no. Be reliable. I mean, there are always times when circumstance may hinder us from being true to our word. We get caught in traffic or we have an accident or something of that nature. But brethren and sisters, in general, let it be known that we are correct in our speech. That we are men and women of integrity. That when we speak, we mean what we say. And there's not some undercurrent here or some agenda here or that we're saying something, but really we mean something else. May God help us as His people. I trust the ministry of this afternoon has been helpful to us in these few thoughts regarding the believer's speech.